Hello and welcome back to the Innovation Room. My name is Daniel Guajardo. I'm joined here today by Derek Tobolsky and also a very special guest that we have. But first, let's talk a little bit about the topic. So today's topic is going to be young professionals and career development. Not just what can be offered by their employers or their organizations, but you know, what can the young professionals do on their own time or take into their own hands to help develop their careers further? Our guest today is Corinne Dwyer from Connex. She is actually the senior manager in global events at Connex and also the founder of the Young Professionals Committee. So we'd like to welcome her. And Corinne, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm super happy to be here. My name is Corinne Dwyer. I am the senior manager of global events at Connex, and I handle all of our exhibitor sales and management and all of our sponsorship sales and management, along with just some event registration and event logistics. So it's very heavily embedded in our national conference and everything else that we have going on. And I also, as of this year, am heading the Connex Young Professionals Committee, which I'm super excited about. It's brand new for this year. We've got some really great things coming down the pipeline to help all of our young professional members just get more involved in the community and within Connex and the organization and just the industry overall, and have kind of a louder voice to speak their wants and needs for the organization and how they want to elevate their careers.
Sounds like all great stuff, and I'm ready to hop into it. But first, roll that intro. So our first topic here today is going to be about goal setting and then growth mindset. Could you give us some insight into maybe how you set goals or how you would tell other people that maybe don't do this often to start?
So I think it's important when you're setting goals to make it short and sweet so that you're not overworking yourself. And I think that the more goals that you have, the harder they are to complete in a certain amount of time, and then you might just get discouraged and say, oh, I didn't complete, you know, every single goal on this list, so now what do I do? So every year I set professional goals for myself on things that I want to become more well-versed in my industry and just in my job overall. So every year I'll update those. I keep it about 3 to 5 items that I really, really want to focus on and just go from there and try to develop all of the expertise that I can in these certain areas so that when I move on in my career, maybe to a different title, I can say, oh, I have XYZ that I have experience in, so this is why I'd be a good fit for this.
So I actually do some weird goal setting. I'm trying something new where you write your goals every day. Same as you, I try to keep it minimum 3 to 4 goals, but I write them every morning. Every morning I get up, I just take a piece of scrap paper and I write those 4 goals down. And I've heard and I've read that it's supposed to reinforce your motivation for those goals and to keep you on track to keep trying to work towards them every single day. Because sometimes I know when I wasn't doing that, I'd forget about them for a week or two or something when I got busy with other stuff. I've only done this for about a month now, but I've actually really enjoyed just rewriting them. Derek, do you have anything on the way you set your goals?
Yeah, I try to stick to one at a time. It makes my life a lot easier. With as many things that are moving around in my department, in my life, I try to just stick to one personal, one professional at a time. Really attack it and then move on. I feel that if I have too many goals, things can just get very convoluted and I start focusing on one more than the others anyways. And I just feel like I'm not making the proper progress on them.
So have you ever tried one of those where you will write something down that you've already done just so that you can check it off and feel accomplished?
Yes.
I've done that before.
Usually how I start all my home lists. I write down everything I've already done at home and then cross them all off. And I'm like, we're halfway there.
I'm setting myself up for success already.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Actually, I might try that. I've never done that. growth mindset, for those that don't know about growth mindsets or what a growth mindset actually is, it's a belief that multiple people have done studies on, that if you believe your mindset is not fixed and it is allowed to grow, that you'll actually be more motivated and you'll have an increased success rate or amount of achievement when you're going after these goals. Do you want to talk about growth mindset at all, Corinne?
I mean, I agree with everything that you just said. I think it's important to keep an open mind and then It's also, especially in this day of social media, I see this all the time, but it's so hard not to compare yourself to other people that might have certain similarities with you. So it's like, oh, this person has the same job title as me, but they're doing all of these different things that I've never even thought of before. So I must be, you know, some kind of failure, or I'm not doing everything that I should. So I think it's important to just keep an open mind about what you have to look forward to, and not necessarily things that you maybe haven't accomplished that you wish that you had.
Yeah, no, definitely. We don't really see all the hard work that was put in before somebody becomes successful, or before somebody posts something on social media that they've achieved. Typically, there's a lot of hours, a lot of time, and a lot of effort that went in before that. And, you know, you're putting your time and effort somewhere, so you're going to have those same things. They don't need to be exactly the same, though. Derek, you got any thoughts on growth mindset and maybe like continuous learning or anything like that, and how important that is?
Yeah, I think continuous learning is always important, especially if you found a career that you really want to pursue, right? Anywhere from industry-based or just the actual professionally-based. You know, in my world, project management, there's a lot of ways that you can progress yourself and continue your education for your professional growth. And then, you know, just within the signage industry itself, for us, you can learn so much. There's always new products coming out. There's also product knowledge, product development, all very important, especially if you want to grow. And I think most YPs want to grow. So it's a very important thing. Yeah. So a term that I've heard floating around lately that I have no idea what it means is a SMART goal. Corinne, could you help define that for me a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So obviously, I think a SMART goal would be something that works in the figurative sense of the word SMART, and something that you feel good about, something that you think is a SMART career move. But more specifically, SMART is actually an acronym, because we love acronyms in this industry. And so those would be specific, measurable, attainable, and realistic, and timely. So SMART. And then I've seen this in practice actually with one of my coworkers. She had a whiteboard at her desk and she had her goals listed out. All of them were personal goals, which I would consider maybe that's a good idea, but I also think it's really important to do this professionally, because this is going to feed into your personal life anyway. Definitely. So she would have, you know, in the next year, I want to accomplish XYZ. Like, I want to be able to afford a new car. And in 2 years, I want to be able to have an established home life. In 3 years, I want to be able to make a certain amount of money at work. And so it is really important to make it something that's realistic and set timing deadlines for yourself. I'm all about deadlines, because that's the way that I can hold myself accountable in any regard. And I'm all about setting deadlines for other people, which I think isn't quite as appreciated. And so it is really important to keep yourself on track and making sure these goals are attainable in a timely manner, that you're setting yourself up for success with this. Because like I said earlier, if you are setting up these really vague goals that are maybe overreaching and are going to span for an indefinite amount of time, it's going to be easy to let those fall by the wayside and maybe not complete them. And then you can go into like a downward spiral of negativity about not being able to achieve the goals you set for yourself and just not feeling good about it at the end of the day.
Yeah, the big one for me is attainable, right? Because I'll sit there and I'll write down a list of goals that are a mile long, and I'll say, we got to get all this done this year. Like, it's going to be great. And if I go back and I revisit it like 4 months later, which I historically don't do, I just kind of mentally erase the other ones and move them down the line. I find out real fast that like I'm nowhere near hitting all those goals. And that's why I said earlier, it's easier for me to really hone in on one or two, the smaller batch of goals, and really push them and make them timely, make them time oriented, make sure I have a deadline for them. It makes things a lot cleaner and a lot easier and a lot more obtainable.
I'd also like to add that, you know, don't make your goals too low, though, because sometimes we think of attainable or realistic as being much lower than we're actually capable of. And we've been predisposed through society to believe that you're only supposed to get to certain places at certain ages. And we found that that is very untrue. You can be a young professional and be a CEO. Like, you don't need 40 years in the industry before you can get there. So if you have the knowledge and you have the drive, set your goals higher. For example, if I set a goal to make $1 million in a year, and I fall short by 50%, that's much better than if I set that goal to make 100,000 and fell short by 50%.
You're going to be a lot closer to that goal than other people will at the end of it.
You
So as a way to continue learning, YPs can seek out mentorships. So for our next topic, I'd like to switch gears over to diving more into that. When I think of mentors, I think of my childhood. Like many, I came from a childhood being a part of organizations, clubs, and sports. During that time, I've always looked for a mentor or a coach to help mold myself or build off of, right? I feel like young professionals want to be mentored and that they recognize the value of learning from those who came before them. Corinne, in your opinion, where should a YP look for a mentor and how does one establish a mentoring relationship?
So I think that the easiest mentor to find is just kind of your default mentor, which is your boss or supervisor, because they are sort of, I don't want to say that they're grooming you to take over their position, but you have a lot to learn from them if you want to get to that point in your career. So I think that's a really easy way to set up just an informal, almost mentor-mentee relationship. Unpopular opinion too, is that I don't think that your mentor necessarily has to be older than you. It can be somebody that you just admire in the industry. If they have, you know, certain qualities like, oh, this guy is like a boss dude. He's only 25, but I have a lot to learn from him. That doesn't mean that they can't be a valued mentor to you. So I think that there's a little bit of a stigma about mentorship and the rules that go with it, where someone should be, you know, X amount of years older than you, or they should have this much industry experience to be able to adequately mentor you. But I think that even having a mentorship among your peers is really important and beneficial.
Yeah, no, I think like for me, I've always kind of, as I've grown, found new mentors, right? Or new people that I want to grow from. It's not always necessarily that next person in line. So I think that's it's a really good point. Is it possible to have multiple mentors at one time?
For sure. I would almost recommend it because you're going to get something out of each relationship that you have. And, you know, someone might fit better with you and the style that you have and how you like to be spoken to, how you like to be mentored. They might know more things about you and different aspects of your life than a different mentor that you have. So the versatility of having multiple mentors, I think, is super beneficial for anybody looking to elevate their career or just become better overall.
Yeah. And for me, I found a lot of the times I'm more drawn to someone that personally I like. It's not necessarily their stature in the company, but someone that I like to mold myself to be more like. You know, if someone's friendly, kind, everyone seems to like them, and that's my personality in general, I tend to gravitate towards that more. Is that natural?
Totally. I would say so. It sounds a little bit cheesy and cliche, but I think the good thing to think about when you're looking for a mentor is, do I want to be them when I grow up? And even though we are, you know, technically adults, grown up, but young professionals, we still have so much to look forward to in our careers. And so if you can look at someone and see them and be like, yeah, I want to be just like that, or maybe just a little like that, then they're a good mentor for you, regardless of, you know, how long they've been in the industry, what their age is, but someone that you can just really mesh with and have a very open and trusting relationship with is going to be a good mentor for however long you decide to carry on that relationship.
Yeah. So naturally gravitating towards someone in that respect, it makes sense. Right. But I'm curious, because you don't always know that you're picking the right person to be following, right? Or to be learning from. So what does a successful mentoring relationship actually look like?
I think the most important thing for a mentor relationship is honesty and transparency, because if you aren't getting what you need out of the relationship, whether you're the mentor, whether you're the mentee, it's important for you to recognize that and be able to communicate that, because at the end of the day, this is just to make both of you better. And I think that if you are being mentored by someone that you're kind of slowly realizing maybe doesn't have the qualities that you want to carry over, to be able to have that conversation, not only with yourself, but with others, so that you can get yourself out of that, maybe find someone that aligns better with you personally or professionally.
Yeah. The mentor mentee two-way street thing is really important. Dan, I'm curious, what's your experience with mentors, mentees? What do you look for?
So my experience comes from a competitive gaming background, and we always tell each other that if you want to be better at what you're doing, you need to be playing against or hanging out with people that are better than you are. When we develop a team, we develop all different age ranges, we develop all different skill levels, and then you can just bounce back and forth off of each other's insight and skill, and that'll eventually make you better. Same thing there with the mentor-mentee. The mentor is going to learn a lot from the mentee as they're trying to teach them something. chess, for example, they tell you the best way to learn chess when you're a kid, if you're starting, is just watch. You just watch for hours and hours before you even start to play chess, and you learn the patterns, you learn the strategies. And that's, you know, some of the greatest chess players, you know, you're supposed to start when you're really young. They don't even play for the first year. So I think a lot of that, you know, just taking things in, you know, what do your parents always tell you? Listen more, talk less. You know, if you're thinking about what you're going to say, you're not going to hear anything I'm saying kind of stuff. The education aspect of it, where you're just learning so much as a mentor or mentee, is very important to the relationship.
And now for my favorite part of the episode, we are going to provide you with some resources
and talk about the different multitude of resources that are available out there. Some of these are free online, some of them are paid or you have to apply for, but we're just going to cover, you know, as much as we can to give you guys the most that we can. Corinne, do you have any resources that you like personally you'd like to share?
So one of my favorite new resources that we're offering is just the ability to get involved with the Young Professional Network, with our happy hours. A lot of those, they're really informal and they're not necessarily an education session, but it's a really good open forum for discussion about topics that are maybe hot topics or just something that you're interested in learning more about from your peers. So those are a really good way to spitball off of each other and kind of move forward with some new ideas that you maybe hadn't thought of before, all in a very informal setting. So for young professionals specifically, that is one of my favorite things that we're offering. But then we do also have some more formal education sessions that we're trying to put together that are more YP focused. But that's not to say that any of our other education sessions that we offer with our Connects membership is not necessarily beneficial. They all just kind of help you out in different ways, but we are looking for some that are very YP specific.
So the education word can make some people cringe just because of the idea of money that floats around with it. You know, sometimes it can get really expensive, and I'm sure like in facility maintenance education, it's not any different. And early on in your career, it can be difficult to pay for those types of things. I'm wondering if there are any programs or grants that you know of that people can take advantage of to help them pay for that kind of education.
Yeah, absolutely. In our industry, we actually have a fairly new designation that Connects is partnering with. It's called ProFM. And this is a credential that can be obtained for any side of the industry, whether you're a facility manager, whether you are a supplier that provides services for these facility managers to utilize to keep their stores up and running. So this ProFM development is just one that's going to be, I think, really sought after in the industry in the coming years. Having said that, it is pricey. And so our Women in Action Committee at Connects has actually put together a grant program to set people up with this designation that maybe don't have a good budget for professional development, or they might be new in the industry and not able to have that conversation with their supervisor about, hey, this is why you should invest, you know, thousands of dollars in my education. So everybody's running into budgetary issues, especially with this past year with COVID. This industry specifically was hit very hard. So people are having issues with money, and that's just the reality of it. And so with this grant that Women in Action has put together, we are getting donations from companies that we have relationships with across the industry, and we're using those to apply towards a grant for someone who's seeking this ProFM credential to really elevate their career and become more involved in the industry, so that they aren't having to have that conversation with their boss or spend that extra money out of pocket, which I know that some people do for these education sessions. And so this grant is offered specifically towards women in the industry, since it was an initiative put together by the Women in Action Committee. So anybody that is a woman that's looking to apply for something to really elevate their career status, I highly encourage to go and apply for this grant.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's so cool that you guys put that together and are offering that. That's a huge help, especially when you're young in your career, having money issues, like you said, and you still want to build. Some of the free things that I like, so I'm a sucker for YouTube because I don't have a lot of time with four kids running around the house. And I like to be able to hit little 15, 20 minute training sessions. I recommend that too, to anybody that may be struggling. Sometimes they just hop on YouTube and type in, you know, how to do this or how to do that, or how do you make this, or how do you manage this, or how do you approach these situations? And a lot of these little 10, 15 minute videos that you find that have been put together are really beneficial. Sometimes they teach you a lot. Sometimes they just kind of reiterate what you already know. But I really like that. Dan, do you have any specific platform you like to use, or education systems that you've been through that really have helped you?
So I actually created a developmental program for the marketing team at North American Signs, and we focus a lot on the free programs that are available. You know, there's lots of massive online open courses that are becoming more and more popular where you can actually take full college courses for free now. Coursera.com, I believe, is one of those places you can utilize this. MIT even has some discounted rates, which, you know, anybody knows what MIT is. They have a great education system. I will actually put all these links below too for any of the things that we mentioned here today, the Connect stuff as well. So if you do want to check any of these out, please visit the links below. Also, if you want to get involved with donating to any of these scholarships, we will put the link to Connect there so you can reach out to Corinne here and maybe she can set you up with who you need to talk to. But yeah, so LinkedIn Learning is a big one that we use on our team just because they offer so many courses and most of them are free even without LinkedIn Premium. There are some that you do need to be a premium member to be able to access some of the longer stuff, but for the most part, you can access almost all of them for free just having a LinkedIn account, which we all know is free. And as a young professional, you probably already have one of these. There's free certifications for marketing and other business related areas on HubSpot, and that's also another free account. And they also have started to offer some free automation tools that they'll let people test depending on what you do in your background or your area of expertise. You can use some of these automation tools in your daily routines, or you could just go take advantage of these certifications, which they actually give you real certifications that you can put on your LinkedIn, put on your resume, whatever it may be, where you want to try to, you know, let people know that you are taking initiative to better your education. But besides that, those are the main ones we use. Google Analytics certifications are always free, and I recommend that to anybody because we're very, very digital, and moving forward, we're going to continue to be digital. So understanding how all of this stuff works, it really does not matter what you're going to do in the future. It's very beneficial just to know how it all works if you don't already.
Those are all great.
All right, so that is pretty much going to wrap it up here for us today. But Corinne, before we go, if there's any piece of advice or you know, something I wish I knew coming into the career kind of moment that you could give to our young professionals or our audience and listeners, what would that be?
One of my favorite things that we say a lot around our office is you don't know what you don't know. And so I think it's really important to come in with a mindset of, I don't really know anything. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, which is what I told my boss in my interview. I said, if you hire me, I hope you're ready for me to ask you a million questions to make sure I'm doing everything well. And I think there's this mindset sometimes coming into the business world where you don't want to look like you don't know what's going on, or you don't want to ask stupid questions or make people think that you don't know what you're doing, when in reality, it's really important to be able to feel confident enough to ask questions of people that are maybe more seasoned than you are, or might have a better knowledge of things that you're trying to achieve. So that's my biggest piece of advice, is don't be afraid to ask questions, because there are no stupid questions.
That's a great piece of advice, and I agree 100%.
Yep.
So I think that is going to wrap it up for us here today. Thank you for taking your time and hanging out with us here on the podcast. And please remember to subscribe so you're notified of future episodes. And we will see you next time.